Psalms 85, verses 1 to 9, and then Habakkuk 2, verses 1 to 5. Starting in Psalms 85, verse 1. You, Lord, showed favor to our land. You restored the fortunes of Jacob. You forgave the iniquity of your people and covered all their sins. You set aside all your wrath and turned from your fierce anger. Restore us again, God our Savior, and put away your displeasure towards us. Will you be angry with us forever? Will you prolong your anger through all generations? Will you not receive us again, that your people may rejoice in you? Show us your unfailing love, Lord, and grant us your salvation. I will listen to what God the Lord says. He promises peace to his people and his faithful servants, but let them not turn again to folly. Surely his salvation is near those who fear him, and his glory may dwell in our land. And then turning over to Habakkuk 2. Now I was just reading this today and I thought, who would name their kid Habakkuk? But anyway, he was a much better man than I am, so I'm going to read his word anyhow because it's good. It said, I will stand at my watch and station myself on the ramparts. I will look to see what he will say to me and what answer I am to give to this complaint. Then the Lord replied, write down the revelation and make it plain on tables so that a herald may run with it. For the revelation awaits an appointed time. It speaks of the end and will not prove false. Though it linger, wait for it, and it will certainly come, and I will not delay. See, the enemy is puffed up. His desires are not upright, but the righteous person will live by his faithfulness. Indeed, wine betrays him. He is arrogant and never at rest. Because he is as greedy as the grave, and like death is never satisfied, he gathers to himself the nations and takes captive of all the peoples. May God add his blessing to his word.
That's interesting that you actually asked who would name their kid Habakkuk. And just to let you know, I'm Rob Holland, by the way, and I'm the pastor at the Bergen Church, if you're not familiar with me. And I come as a friend of the Cowboy Trail Church, and it is so good to be here. But I'm afraid, oh, man, you put me on the spot. I'm like, pray with for my enthusiasm that I bring. And I'm like, oh, I haven't even stood up there yet. So I think it's good, but I usually come pretty excited about this opportunity to be with you, but I'm just kidding. It was good, but it's like, oh, maybe wait till the end to say thank you for his enthusiasm. Anyway, it is good to be here with you, and as we continue to journey through life together, and it's always a privilege to come here. Getting back to Habakkuk, a couple weeks ago, I've been working through this through our church. So I've been in Habakkuk now for a month and a little bit, just studying and into his word and seeing how God's word just flows into one another. And it's so good. But there's two ways you can pronounce Habakkuk. You can say Habakkuk or you can say Habakkuk. Because one is more of a, has a, the other one, the second one has a Jewish, way they say it in the Jewish language, in Hebrew. But I was saying that I said it twice different ways in the service. And this kind, gentle British guy that goes to our church, he said, well, the British have determined that the translation is Habakkuk. And I just looked at him, and I probably shouldn't have said this, but I said, and the British have never been wrong about anything. But with that being said, we're still friends, and it's good. So if whether way I say it one way or the other, we're all talking about, there's only one person I ever known, that, and that's the author of this. Before I begin, I just want to just reread out of Psalm 85, verse 8. And just for us to prepare us and to get us into where we're going to be through this message. And it says this, I am listening to what the Lord God is saying. He promises peace to us, his own people, if we do not go back to our foolish ways. And I just pray, that is my prayer tonight, that we would be people who listen to God. Not listen to me, but listen to God, to hear what He has to say to each and every one of us tonight. And not just tonight, but through the days as we spend time in His Word, as we take time to read from His Word, His holy Word that He's given to us, that we would be mindful of that, we would listen, and that we would listen so that it brings peace to our lives and resist the temptation to turn back to our foolish ways. Now, as we read through Scripture, we will remember and see that returning to foolish ways is a fairly common thing for people. People of God, the people of Israel, turn back so many times to their ways. And that's what gets them in trouble. And that's where Habakkuk comes into being tonight. And so, but let's just be people that listen to God. And it's good. And we can be a part of that. And we're thankful for that. Well, this is the autumn season. And I don't know about you guys, but out in, this is kind of one of those. The month of November isn't really my favorite month. And the only reason for that is that it's hunting season. And we have a lot of people parked on the side of the road. And of course, they're looking for deer or elk or something like that. And that I often use that time to introduce myself to them. And I come up and just say, can I help you? Are you having trouble? And just to let them know that we're watching. Yeah, man. Because we don't want to see anything shot or done illegally. But it's sometimes, because you just never know who you're going to come across, right? But I mean, I also like hunting. And I remember a long time ago when I was a lot younger, skinnier, could actually comb my hair, didn't just have to wash my forehead. I used to go with my dad and his buddies, a couple of his buddies, and we'd go out. I don't know if any of you are familiar with 7 Mile Flats, straight, just you go over Corkscrew Mountain, west of Caroline, and you end up in this meadow. And these flats, and we would have our hunting camp there for a week. And back about, well, this is quite a while ago, but about, for me, 40 years ago or so, maybe a little bit longer than that, we used to, from our camp, you could drive up a variety of old logging roads. And when I say old logging roads, these were back probably in the 40s and the 50s that were built up the side of Corkscrew Mountain. And if you traveled back there and to get way back up into this mountain, it was really awesome. But once in a while, and this was in the fall, I got out there and I wanted to go way back there. So I jumped in my truck, went back, and there's this one wet place, but it's frozen, right? It's November. It's going to be frozen. And I remember driving out onto this ice and it's all good. And I'm really excited. And I didn't have very much farther to go. And my front of my truck dropped through the ice and into this mud. And I just remember I wasn't going anywhere. Was not going anywhere. Didn't matter what I did. It was stuck. And my world changed from one of hope and anticipation to one of grief and despair. And I was looking around. And this is way back before, I mean, cell phones. It wasn't even a thing in our world or our imagination. And I just thought, oh, here I am about 5 miles back here. And now I've got to go find a way to get out of this. And I had the most amazing conversation with myself in that 5 miles. Cause I was, well, at first I started off very mad at myself. And then just like, why did I do that? I know better than that. I should have got out and checked the ice. Why did I do that? Why are things going wrong? Why is my day being ruined? And it was this long walk. But by the time you get to the end, you're just kind of like, well, now where am I going to find help? But I remember walking back to camp and my dad's buddy was there and he had this old Ford truck with this great winch. And so back we go, driving back up this, and we finally get up to where we are, and we find ourselves at this mud puddle. And I just remember we had to get out, and because of course we didn't want two vehicles stuck, so we parked quite a ways away. We hooked up the winch, and I remember we secured the wheels and made everything good, and then we slowly started to listen to that winch. You know how winches are? They start to just, when it's no tension, they just kind of purr real nicely. But as that pressure gets onto that winch, and you sit there and you're anticipating something happening, and you just hear this winch start to really grind down, and you're thinking, oh no. And then it just, what will happen? And then finally it makes the slightest change and you start to see the release of that vehicle from the snow and the muck, and then it slowly the wheels turn and eventually it just pops out and we got it back out. Well, imagine, take that scenario, and let's take that into the book of Habakkuk. Because that's exactly where we find ourselves in the middle of this book. Because we see that it starts off with Habakkuk just calling out to God, where are you? Because we find ourselves as a people, look at us. We're, there's injustice happening. There's just nobody's paying attention to God anymore. They're just doing their own thing. They're making a mockery of God. And it's a time, they've turned back to their foolish ways. It wasn't just a few years before when they had a king that took and got rid of the idols and got rid of the things that distracted them from God. And they were a people that were following God. But after he died, there were consecutive kings that were just horrible. And they went back to their foolish ways. And these kings took the people back to the foolish ways with them. And as a result, there's just injustice and stuff happening. And Habakkuk just says to God, help us out of this. Don't you see what's going on? Why aren't you doing anything? And God responds and says, I am. I am going to do something, but the answer is not what you are looking forward to. He says the answer will actually be unbelievable to you. I'm going to use the Babylonians to come in and to get my people out of their funk. To get my people out of this way of injustice. And the answer is going to be painful and hard. Now, the Babylonians were a people that would just, they didn't care about anybody. They would just sweep through the villages and they'd sweep through countries. And they would just, it's so graphic and it's so terrible. I don't even want to talk about it. But they would do things that would just bring terror into the hearts of the people. Just terror. And it would just stop people from believing anything. They just lived in fear, wondering if this nation would just come and wipe them out. So they would kill some of the people, but leave others there. And the reason they would do that is so those people could run with the message of, these people don't care anything about us. Fear and treachery. And so then Habakkuk says, well, I don't know what to do with this in a sense. He says, I don't know what to do this with. So in chapter 2, the first verse we read tonight, it says, I am going to set myself and anticipate. I'm going to put myself in a place, he says, like a turret, so that I can look out and see you coming. I'm going to put myself in a place where I can anticipate your coming. And then when you do come, I'm ready to hear your word and I am ready for your correction. Or your reprimand. You see, Habakkuk knew that his vision was just, it was kind of like tunnel vision. He could just see this around him and then he could see what this country was going to bring to them. And he said, I don't know what to do with this. And in a sense, what he's saying, Lord, I need you to broaden my vision. I need you to speak into my terror, into my fear, into my distrust, into my questions. And allow me to hear what you have to say. And then may it correct me. May it open my eyes to your ways. So we see in verses 2 to 4, we see how the God responds to Habakkuk. And I'm going to just talk real quickly about just a couple of these things. So his response, God's response to Habakkuk goes like this. He says, I want you to write down what you are about to hear. You see, what we get here in Habakkuk, it's not like a lot of prophets, the Lord would say to them, now you go and tell the people. But that doesn't happen in Habakkuk. He just says, it's almost like this journal entries of Habakkuk, this conversations with God. And God wants us to hear it so that we can be moved by it and see how God responds, but journey with Habakkuk through this time of grief and disappointment and just utter bewilderment at what's going on around him. I mean, look at our world. We live in a place of utter disbelief at some of the things that happen in our world. With our so-called brilliance and genius as people, we still have wars and fights, and it just seems to get worse and worse. And rather than being far out there, it seems to be getting closer and closer and closer. And this polarization and this anger with one another is getting closer and closer and more violent. And we do not seem that well-developed as people. But God says to Habakkuk, I want you to write this down. I want the people to know of your journey, and I want them to hear what I say. He starts off by saying, my work will happen in its time. So he reminds Habakkuk that there is a process to this work that he's going to do, but that it's going to take time. And as we look back through history, we realize that the time when of resolution, when God brought his people back to the homeland, back to Israel, to restore this town, to restore the temple, was going to take time. And it was well beyond Habakkuk's life. You know, I just think of it, it's just like that, watching that truck and waiting for that winch, and you're wondering, is this going to happen? And that process of getting out took time. Much longer than I ever wanted it to, but it took time and there was a resolution. Well, that's the same thing we're going to see. So his work is going to happen. But then he gives Habakkuk and he gives us a message. And it's one little line. And it says this, for the righteous shall live by faith. For the righteous shall live by faith. Interesting thing that he would put that in there. In the midst of all these questions, in the midst of injustice, in the midst of quarrel and war, in the midst of being overwhelmed by another nation, he says, and the righteous shall live by faith. And I want to focus on that just quickly to say, this is a message for you and I. The message for you and I in today's day and age. When we may feel overwhelmed, when we may feel overwhelmed by illness or overcome by things that are out of our control. And it just seems that every day it's just things are just spinning out of control. And we fight for control, right? Because when we have control, we feel that we are providing ourselves with peace. But the world just seems to be taking that away from us. But God has a message. The righteous will live by faith. Now, I want to break this into three parts. So who are the righteous? Who are the ones that God would consider righteous? Well, I think we can begin by saying it's the people who accept God's authority. And that means to recognize him as Lord and Savior. A God who cares for us. A God who loves us. A God who sent his son, Jesus. Now, we read this with the words of Jesus in our hearts and on our tongues. Habakkuk didn't even know that then. So righteousness isn't anything new. It's just we are get blessed because we know of what Jesus did for us. And that should be our great amen. He is the one to make us righteous. He is the one to make us whole. But we can acknowledge God and we can say he has all the authority. Even Jesus said, as he's leaving his disciples in Matthew 20, he says in the last words, I have authority over the heavens and the earth. All authority has been given to me. So we realize that it's not just an empty statement. Jesus is saying this. And then it said, but we rather than just acknowledge that, we have to submit to that. And I got to say, those are the hardest words to say, it seems, in this day and age. Submitting to anybody's authority. It seems the more and more we listen to the news, the more it says, whatever I believe is the truth. And if you are on any social media platforms, you will hear that time and time again. What I believe is my truth. Don't tell me anything else. But friends, that truth is just hollow. It's shallow. There's nothing to it. Because somebody stronger or bigger, more powerful or louder is going to come along and say, no, this is the truth. And they clash. But instead, we're invited by God to say, accept my authority. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be thy name. And then submit to him. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it in heaven. We fall under God's authority and it is there for us to hear, to listen to take in, and then to live out. Those are the righteous. You know, Jesus said it this way, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Jesus even talks about that. So it says right there, hungering and thirsting for righteousness. Hungering and thirsting for this relationship with God, being in right relationship with Him. In a place where we know what He has done for us, we receive that, we confess of our selfishness or our sin, and then we start this journey of righteousness. But we have to seek after it. Hunger and thirst. Meaning, our thirst and hunger will never be quenched. It'll be quenched by Jesus. Because it says you'll be filled. But we still need to look for deeper and deeper. And as we do, we will be filled. And that is a good thing. The next part, it says, the righteous shall live. Shall live. And I believe this is telling us, each and every one of us, that we need to continue walking in our faith. Stepping forward. Not hiding. Not just sitting in our comfy little groups and thinking that, oh, well, we go to church and that's the best thing we can do. No. It means that as we walk out of here, this is an important part of it. Joining together in fellowship. Coming together to learn, to sing praises to God, to pray together. Those are parts of our fellowship that encourage us in our faith. But then it's about getting out on those streets, out in our neighborhoods, in our homes, in our workplace, in the groups that we meet, and living out our faith. What does God say when He's challenged to what's the greatest law? And He says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And then love your neighbor as yourself. Now, that might sound, we know those words, but let them sink in. What does it mean to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength? Do we put everything into our relationship with God? And what I mean is just, are we committed to knowing Him? Committed to getting to know Him in a deeper and a more personal level, as He touches us and changes us, makes us into those new creations. And then to love our neighbors, ourselves. You know, just this morning I had a cup of coffee with a friend, and we were just talking about this, and she said, you know, and she told me something about somebody she knows, said, I have a hard time forgiving them. And as much as I've tried over the last 7 years, it's just hard. I've said the words, but it's hard. And I said, I know. Because the thing is, with forgiveness means that I can forgive somebody, but then to do that properly, I have to learn to love them the way Christ loves me. With passion and a desire to go deeper in our relationship with God. And I said, and I can't do that. It's only when God's moving in my life that I can actually love somebody and truly forgive them. And I said, when the second I forget that, I just say, or the second I think, no, I'm justified in this, I said, I stop and I think, what does God think of me? Has He ever been disappointed in me? And then I start to say, oh yeah. I remember how I acted here or how I didn't do something here. It's hard. But that's why we journey with God. That's why we seek out righteousness. That's why we live with God in our hearts. You know, in Micah 6:8, he said this, Hear, O Israel, or no, He has shown thee, O man, what is good and what the Lord requires thee, but to love justly, or to act justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with God. Listen to those words. Take them in. Chew on them. Both those passages call us to something deeper with God. And as we go deeper with Him, we will walk with Him and be strengthened in those acts of justice, mercy, and love. And we'll do it through a humility. Lastly, he says, so again, he says, the righteous will live, or the righteous, those that are walk with me, that know me, will live, will walk with me, and walk forward by faith. Now faith is a hard thing for us to put together. How do you define faith? Because we know it's believing in something that we cannot see. Believing. So here we sit here tonight, we have faith that the sun is going to come up tomorrow, or Well, we'll see the sun. It doesn't really come up, but we see the sun. But faith is that. And faith is knowing different things. But here it's saying, but we've got to live by faith with God. Well, the book of Proverbs provides us with a little insight to this. Proverbs 3, 5 to 6, a verse that we should all know, probably off by heart. And if not, I know we've heard it. Trust the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. But in all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will make straight your paths. Now, there's so much hope in that. And I just want to speak briefly about what it means to trust and lean not on your own understanding. And this is the way I put it. When we lived in Nepal, there were sometimes these little alleyways, or they called them streets, but they were streets when there were no cars. But as soon as cars came, they became more like alleyways because they were so narrow. And really, there were places where you could almost touch one building with one hand. Well, that sounds like parts of Calgary. Anyway, but I just remember that if some work had to be done on this house, they would lean the ladder up against that house, and then they would climb it, and the farther they climbed up that ladder, the closer they got to the house that they were working on, but the farther away they got from the house beside them. And really, that's what's being put before us. Where do we lean our ladders? Do we lean our ladders on God and trust in Him and then live by faith, meaning we're walking up that ladder? We're putting our faith and trust in Him. And the higher we get up that ladder, the closer we get to God. Like that. And we get closer and closer and closer. But you see, this is the problem. As we get up higher, we long for that self over there, that building of self. And we start to reach out for it, wanting it. But we really put ourselves in peril, because if we step off the ladder, we're going to fall. We may find that, but what have we lost? We've lost that relationship with God. And so these Proverbs are telling us, Habakkuk's telling us, the righteous shall live by faith. We put our faith, we lean up against God. And then as we start walking with Him, the reality of God becomes more and more evident. And secure. You know, when I was a lot younger, I used to just throw a ladder up against the house and you'd just go up and you just would figure, if something happens, it happens. Crazy thinking. I don't think like that anymore. I make sure it's set on solid ground and I do my best, and I usually have somebody else there with me, right? Because I know that falling hurts and I don't want to do that anymore. Some things, I'm getting smarter about some things. I remember once I had this little cabin and I had to fix a ceiling fan in the middle, but it was a vaulted ceiling and I didn't have a ladder that was long enough to get up there. So I thought, I've got a plan. Oh, that's a bad idea. I said, if I take a rope, and it had these old bars that went across, these metal rods that went across these walls to hold everything together. And I thought, if I tie a rope to that and put it on the top of the ladder and lean it against that rope, this is going to work just jim dandy. And it might have worked if I'd had two ropes and they were secured like that, but I just had one rope. And I'm doing a whole bunch of renovating, right? So I'm going up, and just as I'm reaching, my old ladder does a 180 pivot, and suddenly I find myself floating. And I remember floating in midair, and the only thing, I've had this happen a couple times, but falling off something. And each time, no life flashes before my eyes. It's just this phrase, this is gonna hurt. And I just remember falling backwards, but my saving grace is my old couch was sitting in the middle of the floor, and there were tools scattered at one end and the other, and I landed right in the middle of all these. I never touched anything hard, and I just went, oh Lord, thank you, because I just remember poof, and then there was all this drywall dust just went poof. I was a bachelor back then, so there's a lot more dust in my house I just remember that was it. But I never got hurt, but I was like, oh, thank the Lord. And I just remember, I'm going to just quit. I'm going to go up to I was working at Pioneer Camp at the time. I'm just going to go to the camp, meet with my friends, have a coffee, and just celebrate the fact that I don't have anything broken and I'm not hurt. And that's what I did. But friends, we have to lay that ladder against God. That is how we are going to discover our faith and find out the reality of it. And people go around this world all the time saying, I don't know if God is real. But it's either one of two things. They're not necessarily leaning their ladder up against something, but they're just holding it. And you can walk around a long time with a ladder, but that's not what a ladder's for. A ladder's there for using. And God's given us a ladder of faith. And we need to just step one rung at a time. It's not a race. But as we get closer and farther up that ladder, we get closer and closer to God. And as we get closer and closer to God, the reality of faith becomes real. We discover peace, hope. There's a whole bunch of tragedy and stuff that's ready to distract us and pull us away from our faith. Friends, this is a time when we as believers have our ladders securely planted against the Lord. And we are walking on that and encouraging one another. Keep walking. Keep living. Keep moving forward. Why? Because, yeah, we discover faith, but what do? We can then draw others to say, put your ladder against this, against God. Learn from Him. Discover His love for us. Discover His faithfulness and learn about His purposes. And that is what you and I are being called to in this day. So I just want to close in prayer and thank God for this word. And may it be a word that we hear and that keeps us from falling back and going back to our foolish ways. Heavenly Father, thanks for today. Thanks for your word. And thank you for a prophet who was able to ask hard questions, but also was able to hear what you had to say to him. And Lord, I just thank you for that. Because it gives me hope and it gives me a reason to keep going. Knowing that you can handle the hard questions and that you do challenge me, though, to listen, to hear, and to walk in your ways. Be with us. Be with us every moment. Keep us from removing our ladder. Keep us from reaching out into old ways. Protect us. And may we be encouragers to one another. May we also be those that invite others. Come and place your ladder against the Holy Father and discover that He is God. In your name we pray. Amen.